Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Man, I got all turned around there for a second. Hey, before we start the show tonight, I want to give a big shout out to all of our new friends over in the Philippines. The other day, I was going through the, I told the story the other night, but it's kind of interesting how it happened. It just goes to show how serendipitous life is sometimes, or a little bit of synchronicity, I guess. But very, very cool. I was looking at our ratings and the numbers and whatnot, and I saw a little spike over in the Philippines, of all places. And I'm like, wow, I wonder how that's what that's about. What's the impetus behind that? And not an hour later, I got a message through my website from a fellow who's serving over there in the Army, I believe. Might have been the Navy. I can't remember. Probably the Navy. But anyway, and he said he was listening to the show, and he told a couple people about it. So that's where that spike was. So I just want to give a quick shout-out to all of our fine friends over in the Philippines. Hope you guys are staying dry. I've only been there once, and it was always raining. Tonight, our guest, this is a very, very cool guest from a very, very – behind a very, very funny and cool film, a documentary that I really like called Funny Tweets. Came out last year. And tonight we have Laurie McGinnis on with us. Laurie, how are you?
Good, man, and thanks for having me on, Jamie.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, this is an interesting – I liked this film a lot because not only did it tell a very cool story of Dan Duvall, who we had on last month when the film first came out, but it really got kind of into a little – a very cool, intimate peek – behind the scenes of some of the funniest comedies on television and out there in showbiz land. For those who aren't in the entertainment business, just the mechanics of comedy and this new thing, Twitter. How did this all come about for you, sir?
Well, it started because Dan lives up here in Canada in a small town near Vancouver where I live. And I realized he was nearby. And so I reached out to him. I followed him on Twitter just because I thought he was funny. And then we started talking. And then he said he'd just come back from LA and he was in the green room at the Conan show. And I was like, well, how does that work? Like, you're like a cashier at the pharmacy in Victoria. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. You know, it's just that these two very different worlds that he had a foot in each one. So then we came over with our camera guy and interviewed him, and the story just spilled out of him. And he's a very likable guy, and he's very grateful for the opportunities that have been afforded him. But really, he got on his phone, he was funny, and he became friends with these powerful showrunners of The Simpsons, Modern Family, Family Guy, and, of course, Andy Richter, who is just the nicest man. But nice. So that was really the connection. Was like he told me that initial story, and I said, that's really cool. This is somebody getting an opportunity through social media that they otherwise never would have gotten. And then we just started pulling the thread, and it went from there. Like, we went down once and interviewed a bunch of Dan's friends, and then the second time, including Andy Richter, which was cool, we were on the Paramount lot. And you're going by the soundstage where they shot, you know, Casablanca, and like it's, and this is all just because Dan's funny on Twitter. And then we went back, and that's when we got, you know, the guys from The Simpsons and Modern Family and Family Guy. And you know, in that case, you know, we were in Alex Sulkin's office. He's the showrunner of Family Guy. He, you know, works for Seth MacFarlane. But he also co-wrote Ted and Ted 2, and we're just sitting chatting with this guy. These guys couldn't have been nicer. You know, we weren't really asking for anything except for about a half hour, 45 minutes of their time. So we just wanted to talk about being funny and how being funny on Twitter created these opportunities. And like you, I was really fascinated to sort of look behind the cover, at these shows and these just, very nice guys, very smart, very accomplished guys, but were very open with us about the process and how writing for Twitter is not unlike writing for those shows.
Oh, it's interesting because Twitter, I mean, the mechanics of it, it forces one to be focused in what they're saying, in the case of a joke. I imagine that lends itself incredibly well to stand-up and whatnot, because a lot of my comedian friends, man, they'll spend a lot, and people don't realize this, they watch a comedy special or they go to a comedy club or something or watch, The Simpsons or whatever, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's funny, and they don't give much thought to the process of conception to that joke telling, what I mean? There's oftentimes a lot that goes into that.
Oh, yeah, and, there's a lot that comes out. That's, kind of part of the thing with Twitter is these little perfect little bonsai trees of comedy. There's not an extra syllable, and that's one of the that's one of the joke writing skills. There's no fat, and when you're with The Simpsons and Family Guy, like they've got two or three jokes coming a minute, so you've got to they've all got to be elaborately pruned, and so that is a skill set that's transferable from Twitter, just economy of language.
That's amazing. It's amazing. I'm at that age. I'm getting a little bit up there, Lori. But, I see stuff that I never saw coming. And my first thought, of course, is, man, I wish I would have thought of that. I would be, I'd have a big pool right now. But the thing is, I'm telling you, I lived in San Diego for about 10 years when I got out of college. And, man, it seems like every weekend I was either in L.A. or San Diego at a fundraising event. Now, this is most people at that time didn't even have computers. A few did. But, never would have thought of crowdfunding or any of those. I really wish I would have. Twitter, who would have? And Twitter, it reminds me, when I was a teen, the big thing, everybody had pagers and, beepers carrying around and look cool and send very short little messages, numeric messages coded and whatnot. And, I can see Twitter evolving out of that technology, but man, it's become such a staple. And even in our crazy political situation, where the president's tweeting all this stuff every day. And who would have thought? I never would have seen the landscape where that would catch on, but it has. And,
right, look what it did for your president. Like it allows you to communicate to these enormous audiences completely unmediated. So like there's no one between you and somebody who's listening. And if you catch the attention of the right person, as in Dan's case, then your life can change. It's a little tougher now. It's a little more saturated. It's harder to gain followers. I think those guys sort of saw the golden years as being 2010 to like 13 or maybe 14. Mm-hmm. It's harder to break through now, but you still can, and people still do. Look at AOC in the Congress, and her tweeting directly to people. And it's just, she's got an audience and she's talking and they're listening. And it's a remarkable sort of leveling of the playing field.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't like what somebody's saying, it's very easy to say, okay, I'm done with that person and, and not engage with that person. It's changed, I think, our social dynamic immensely. Like you said, a cat's in the White House due to a big factory. I mean, there was lots of things, but I think Twitter was a big one. Amazing.
Sure.
No, let me. Were you tweeting and were you actively on Twitter before doing this project?
Oh yeah, my wife says I'm an addict. That's why I got.
Ah, okay.
I got into it because I just loved reading really pithy, funny tweets, and that was how I found Dan. And then, you know, and then as I with the story with him, and then I sort of dove deeper into how this all worked, because a lot of people got opportunities. Damien Fahey in the movie got a job in Family Guy. Like Seth MacFarlane followed him, retweeted a couple of things, and his manager calls me, goes, "Do you want to write for Family Guy?" He was working as a radio guy in L.A. And boom, you know, his life changes. You know, Kelly MacFarlane got book deals. Amber Tozer in our movie, she got a book deal from just straight from Twitter. You know, an agent DM'd her, "Hey, you ever thought of writing a book?" And now it's Sober Stick Figure. It's really funny too. It's great. So there was, you know, there was a lot of people for whom this was like, it opened a door. It was a portal into another world. And for those that were kind of willing to step through and had the goods, like that Dan says, and he goes, you know, you got to be funny. Like it's a great equalizer, but you still need to show up and make people laugh.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. LapothecaryUnique.com. Well, the great thing about humor and people, funny people, I like I said, I'm friends with quite a few comedians and whatnot that do stand up and the whole traditional comedian path, I guess would be the term I would use. And the interesting thing about it is they're not casually funny. They're funny for the most, but not all, but for the most, when they're on, you know, when they when the meter's running.
Dan
seems
right.
like he's funny all the time.
He is. He is. He can't turn. He's just him, and that's one of the wonderful. He was enormously endearing when I interviewed the guy. I thought I like this guy, and I think other people will too. And then plus he's got this great story, and you know, and a lot of things have changed in his life since then. You know, he's got development deals. He's working as a writer. He's, you know, he's doing stand up. He just had his first headlining gig here in Vancouver. I went and saw him. I hadn't seen him do a stand up, and he was great. And I was very very proud of him, you know, like, and just so happy for him. Like the Twitter success that he had really kind of ignited other aspects of his life. He got himself together in a whole bunch of different ways. And it's great to see he's lost like 35 pounds. He's running, marathons and stuff. He's a different dude than the guy that I sat down with. And this all started with Twitter. Yeah.
Well, you know, a little success too. I mean, it definitely happens. It'll definitely put a spring in your step, you know, when things are going
absolutely. Well. Man, there's nothing like winning to create more winning, you know?
Exactly. And that's what you got to remember when you have those times in life where you're not. You got to keep that
that's
in mind.
Right. That's James right. Court. You know, and just get back up and go again. You know, and that's something that when you think things aren't going well, a chunk of the movie talks about that too, people who made mistakes on Twitter and paid sometimes like a very steep price. The Justine Sacco that tweeted about it going into South Africa and she lost her job and she was a pariah. You know, Gilbert Gottfried lost the Geico. Was it Geico? Yeah, the Aflac duck.
Gear. Right.
He tweeted about the Japanese tsunami and half their business was done in Japan and they canned him right away. He was making $1 million a year doing that thing, and that went away. And while there's great opportunities there, there's also pitfalls, and if you're not careful, it can go badly.
And you got to be smart. I have a gal. The great thing about social media, especially Facebook and whatnot, you reconnect with all these high school people I normally wouldn't have.
Right.
But there's a gal I went to high school with, and her daughter, we're at the age where she's got a daughter that's going to college. And this happened a couple of years ago. And I don't want to say her name or anything, but the daughter had, maybe was a little tipsy. I don't know. Had tweeted something kind of dumb and offensive, and like you said, became a pariah very quickly with a lot of people. She's not just in her little group, her little area, their area, but globally. And it messed her up. And I'm not excusing what she did. It was a dumb mistake, I will say that, obviously. But when I was that age, I could make a mountain of nickels of all the dumb things I did. But
oh dear God, we did our stupid
I'm glad there wasn't
stuff,
Twitter.
Private. We did all our stupid stuff privately. There was nobody recording it and blasting it out all over the world. Thank God.
And we got punched in the nose when we needed to, and probably for the better. When we deserved it. But it's interesting. So this film came out. Was this a long process? I've never shot it. I wouldn't even know the first thing about doing it. It seems like a giant project to me.
It is. I produce TV commercials here, like car commercials and that kind of thing. And so I know how to put 30 seconds of broadcast quality stuff together. It's a whole other animal to do 68 minutes. And I didn't realize what I was biting off until I was well into it, but I learned a ton. And and I had some great help along the way. And people who did make movies and did know what they were doing would step in and give me direction or give me a hand. And then I got my youngest son scored the whole movie for me. He's a producer and composer. And he'd never done that before. And I just gave him the film. It's there's like 150 music cues in there or something. It's crazy. And he just went off and created the soundtrack, brought it back. And like, we had a couple of tweaks, but it was done. And then, you know, my older son, he shot and edited parts of it as well. So like, you know, I had my kids helping me, which was enormously gratifying. And we're all very proud of how it turned out. Like, you know, I'm thrilled that like this is our first film. It would have been easy to make a 2 out of 10. And I think we did like maybe an 8.
I would definitely say that. No. And I'm not saying that just because you're on the show. I mean, seriously, I'm a movie guy. Let me put it this way. I'm that cat who is currently building the outdoor theater in their backyard. I don't make movies. I'm just a big movie person, you know. I'm that guy on the block. But anyway, you know, everybody's like, why are we watching Casablanca again, Jane? You know, my fiance is just like, can we watch something new? I'm like, no. Oops. I'm like, trust me. It's a good. Yeah. But, you know, I like a good, intelligent film. This wasn't overly highbrow or anything by any means and whatnot. But it was a good look at a fascinating story and on how all this works. You know, we all watch Family Guy and things like that, and we laugh at it, and it entertains us, and that's great. But I really had no idea what went into that aspect of it. And I do after watching this film. I have a taste of it. It was fascinating.
And that's and that was all I did, was just follow my curiosity. And that was what was so satisfying about this, was I would just – I'd ask questions and it would lead to something, and then it would lead to something else. And each door I opened would lead to 3 more doors, and I'd open all of those. And the process, I just was like, you know, they say, make the movie you want to see. So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the language is a bit salty in parts, and I might tone that down next time because, you know, why cause trouble? But because I produced it myself, I was free. The creative decisions were all mine. And I didn't get notes from anybody. I certainly showed it to people, and I got feedback and, you know, pacing, that kind of thing, and how long to leave the tweets up for people to read. Everybody's got different reading speeds, and there's a lot of reading for a movie. That's something that's different, right? But I thought, well, this is so integral to this story. We got to show the tweets, and plus those tweets we chose are hilarious. Like,
I had to pause the film. My fiance Danny, she manages a big retail cosmetic thing store down here in South Florida, and she was getting ready for work. She had to work the afternoon shift that day. So she's in the washroom and she's, you know, doing her hair and all that. And I'm in the living room watching the film on our television and whatnot in there. And she's like, is something wrong with your copy of that? Because you keep stopping it. I'm like, no, I'm falling off the sofa laughing. So you got to hear this. And I just kept stopping and reading them to her. And yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious.
I know. You know what? And I've heard from some of the people whose tweets I used, and very, like, it was lovely. It, like, so gratifying. I never saw that coming. Like, a couple of people reached out to me and said, hey, you used one of my tweets, and I'm so honored. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
You know, I said, well, you wrote one of the best tweets of the last 5 years, so you deserve to be in there. You know, that kind of thing has been, you know, gratifying. To connect with people that you never would have otherwise, and to share a kind of a cool moment like that.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. Now, you mentioned producing this. Not only did you produce, you wrote it and directed it as well. How was it, and was it difficult having those different hats to wear in this project?
Yeah, well, the thing is when you're wearing all the hats, it's just one big hat. You just do what has to be done, right? And it's like, okay, like the main thing for me was drawing up money so I could finish. There's, you know, unexpected costs. There's legal. Like, you have to have your legal button down. And luckily I had great legal advice. But that was substantial, that cost. There was, you know, of course, all the, you know, all the regular, you know, post-production stuff, the editing and the sound design and all that kind of stuff. But I had to, you know, go out and make some more car commercials to come back and pay for this. But what that gave me, as I mentioned earlier, was freedom, right? I was allowed to do whatever I wanted. So if I thought it was a good idea, then it was in. And that was super fun.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
Again, it seems like you're kind of a man after my own heart when doing various projects or what have you, and things come up as they invariably do. You're the type of fellow who is as well. How do we get the money for this? Let's do it.
That's right. And it's just like
might take a little bit, but it gets done.
There's always a solution, and it may not be the perfect solution, but there is a solution. And one of the things that I found, like I initially was going around to like film festivals and like Real Screen and Hot Docs and Banff, trying to get funding, and nobody was gonna. I was getting a bunch of attaboys and you go get them, but no one was gonna sign up for it. I just had a couple of interviews in the can, and I had a trailer like a sizzle reel I'd made, but when I realized I don't need this. I can do this on my own. I can fund this. I can just do this. And the minute I did that, it was just like the shackles came off and things started to happen because like people would get behind you. When it's like somebody described to me, if you see somebody sitting by the side of the road and they're, on the hood of the car, it's one thing. If you see somebody pushing the car, you're more likely to pull over and give them a hand. So I had lots of people come and giving me a hand. And I get choked up sometimes when I think about the way people came through for me, and I'll never forget it. Like at key moments, really important stuff happened that allowed me to go to the next level, and it's a remarkable thing. It not restored my faith in humanity, but it reinforced it.
Right. Well, it's a great feeling when those dominoes fall into place. You know what I mean? When you're doing something, and just bolt out of the blue, things just tend to work out. I think if you're positive and you're doing something, I know I've known a lot of people, and I myself haven't always been positive. that was a lesson for me to learn, when the world was against me and everything. But when you put, I don't want to sound all new agey, but when you kind of throw that out into the world, you get that back, same with positivity.
You do.
But
absolutely.
Hey, man. you've made this movie, this document. You got to wake up every morning and go, I completed this. I did this. This is fantastic.
Yeah. There was certainly a time there. Yeah, when it really sank in. I remember when my sales distributor guy got us onto all the VOD platforms, you know, like Comcast and DirecTV and iTunes and on airplanes and everything. And, you know, we're still trying to get a streaming or broadcast deal. That's really the end goal. But
right.
I remember, like, getting the call from him and it just kind of hit me, like, holy shit, people are going to see this. It's I did it. And we did it. And it was incredibly sad because it was kind of on my bucket list. It's like, you know, do
right.
it. Like, and so now I have. And now that I've done it, it's like I'd like to do that again. But the thing I'm learning, there's two very different, like you were talking about hats earlier. This is a very different hat, is the business side of it, the selling. And it's been an eye opener. Like, we did our own social media campaign and it went really well. We created trailers for everybody that was in the movie and they would retweet them. And we got great views on the trailers, lots of social media activity. But that the business, the monetizing of it, the getting paid, is much harder
right.
than you think, and that's what we're going through right now.
Well, and it's interesting in any creative endeavor. And man, I tell you, I went to art school a long time, so I got a lot of weirdo artist friends, and I say that with love. I'm not bagging on my friends, but they are. But it's very hard for them, a lot of creative people, to flip into that business side. I was fortunate
yes.
enough. I grew up in my father was always self-employed. I mean, I was groomed from a very young age to be self-employed and whatnot, and kind of think a few steps ahead in terms of such things. But it's hard for a lot of people. It's hard for them to switch to the business, and especially with a film, because you're right, distribution and whatnot, people have no idea what goes in the legal stuff of it, you know? It's
there's different copyright rules between Canada and the U.S. I got my errors and omissions insurance out of the States because you guys have got strong First Amendment protections down there and different rules for using copyrighted material, like those Simpsons and Family
right.
Guy clips that I used. I could never have done that in Canada. I had to get my insurance clearances done in the States. So, you know, that's something that you learn, right? The amount of, like, it was constant, the stuff that was being revealed to me, you know, and right now, even with the distribution deals and like how you get paid and, okay, you're on Amazon, but you get like 6 cents a minute and you go, what? So like if somebody watches the whole thing, you get like a buck.
$6 on the distribution, you know? Yeah, probably more the cost difference. People don't get it. They ask me all the time. They're like, oh, so you just paint a painting and then you put them on T-shirts and sell them. I'm like, well, there's a little bit of stuff in between that process, but yeah, we
they have no idea
about copyrights or any of that. But most people don't want to know that. They just want to click it and watch the film and be taken away. And I think a lot of people who watch the film, especially after seeing Dan's story, in the back of their mind going, man, I better get on Twitter and start being funny because I could wind up in L.A., you know? I mean, flying around and living the life.
Yeah, you know, and who knows what the next platform will be, like what that's going to look like. You know, we didn't see Twitter coming. What will be the facet of that really allows somebody to show a new way of doing something creative and amusing people. I mean, that's what's really cool about this too. I mean, aside from the, you know, what's happened with Dan and his own great, you know, story is that people go on Twitter really like just to make strangers laugh. And it's kind of a very nice thing you can do for somebody, right? It's just, it's altruistic in some senses. It's just like, I can just make some random guy in the dark on the other side of the globe laugh. And
I think it's a lovely thing to give somebody. Yeah, you know, I mean, because we see all the time people focus on, well, these psychos are on, you know, doing their whatever, you know, white supremacy, whatever the evil of the day is, you know, that whatever the news story is going to be. And, you know, people focus on that negativity, but there's also a positive thing. I crack up going on Twitter sometimes. Again, you know, I'm not following 10,000 people. I'm following 20 people that enhance my day. Give me a little chuckle, you know? That's pretty cool. That's awesome. And I think you're opening up that world maybe to people who aren't doing that. You know what I mean? Necessarily. And, or reinforcing people. Oh, yeah. So many people I talked to when I was talking about your film to friends and whatnot, and there was a bunch of people that I knew that were like, oh, yeah, I've got a Twitter account. I started it 6 years ago. I think last time I was on it was 4 years ago. And I'm like, oh, it's your loss, man. You should really follow such and such on. And then they're on their phone, you know, laughing.
Sure.
And it's an interesting thing. Well, it's very, very cool. Now, I have to ask, I know we're getting up a little bit into time, but I want to ask before we run out of time, anything in the shoot for the next project you can talk? I know you film folks. It's sometimes hard to talk about projects before eyes are
dotted. You know, the way it works is once we've got a broadcast or a streaming deal, then I get a producer credit, and it allows me access to all kinds of funding. And it just legitimizes me. So, like, that's what the goal is because I want to start on the next one. I just love this process.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Elbae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
But the next one I want to make it is about Reddit, and everybody on there is anonymous, and yet, like on Twitter, you can tell who people are. On Reddit, it's completely anonymous, but they're making each other laugh, and the comments on Reddit are so funny. Like, you go on Roast Me, or like some of these subreddits are so funny, and it's just like, okay, well, how does this work? How do these people come together, and to make each other and strangers laugh? and they don't even know each other. And I just love that. I mean, of course, you know, the problem with that is like that idea is that there's no people are by nature on Reddit anonymous. So you don't have any, like, you know, starring, you know, butt fart 69 or whatever, right? It's like nobody, you can't tell who the guy is. So it makes it a harder sell as far as, you know, distribution and that kind of thing. But that's my idea, is the next one is Reddit. And I just think it's a great community there of people, like, who come together just to share laughs.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Fantastic. I'm telling you, Reddit's amazing. It was right around Christmas time. I had sent a painting up to this cat in Boston who had ordered a David Bowie painting. And of course, you know, the post office is just overwhelmed that time of year. And his painting was a little late getting there. This client's, you know, raising hell and everything. And so I need to call the post office line, which is a 2-hour wait at that time of year. And I'm like, and it just keeps this voicemail machine voice keeps circulating and cycling. And I'm about to lose it. And my blood pressure's up. And so I go on Reddit and I'm like, how do you get a person on the post office call line? And somebody said, here's the trick. You have to say the F word 6 times when it's asking you if you want to do this or that. And I said, that can't work. And I did it and it worked. It was a 2-hour wait to talk to an agent who knew nothing, but the guy got his painting in the end, but regardless, I never would have known.
You're
going to
drop 6 F-bombs and then you'll get through?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently the computer recognizes that. I didn't believe it, but it worked. I was amazed. Is this our technology? Post office? Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Well, this is very cool. Now, it is out. People can watch this. We have a link up. They can get watch this on iTunes and whatnot, and it's on video on demand right now, right?
That's correct. It's on most of the video on demand platforms in the States and in Canada. It's on Airlines and iTunes in Canada, UK, and the States.
That's amazing. Well, you know, fingers crossed and all of that for the. There'll be a streaming deal coming on this. I'm telling you, it's too good of a film for there not to be, you know? And
that's great. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, just in case you haven't heard it today. Laurie, keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're real, real good at it. You know, if this is indicative of your work, I can't wait to see the next one. You know?
That's awesome.
Amazing.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amazing film. Yeah, yeah. And
thanks,
ladies
man.
And gentlemen, like I said, we have on our show page, we have links up. There's a shorter link that says Funny Tweets Film. It's a bit link. And click on that. That'll get you to iTunes and all the places you can watch this. And also, very important, we have a link up to the Funny Tweets Film Facebook page. Of course, they have a Twitter account as well. I don't know why we don't have that up, but we will. But I suggest you definitely get over to the Twitter and both the Facebook and like and share. There's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
That Laurie will tell you in conversation called, well, what's the engagement? Engagement comes up a lot. And
that's right.
This helps with that. Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
No, for sure. Like, actually, the best place, the best resource is to go to Funny Tweets Film on Twitter. And that you'll get all the reviews, interviews. This interview will be up there. You can see all the personalized clips. It's like it's just a repository of everything to do with this film. So I'd encourage you, Funny Tweets Film on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, there you go, folks. Very, very cool. Laurie, I want to thank you. I know we went a little long. I apologize about that. But thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and whatnot and everything. I really appreciate it coming on, being on the show and blasting the joint up around here. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, no, it was great talking to you, Damien. Like, you know, you're enthusiastic about the film and you enjoyed it, and I enjoyed talking to you. It was a good conversation.
Awesome. Very cool, sir. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. This is our last episode of the week, episode 809 tonight, I believe it is, or maybe it's 808. I think it's 809. Man, it's a lot. I remember when I was only going to do 20 of these shows, but... it's kept me out of the bars, ladies and gentlemen. That's a good thing. kind of. But anyway, yeah, that's going to be our last episode of the week. My gal Danny, we're doing all kinds. We're going to check out the wedding venue tomorrow. So how about that? And then we're off to Disney World for the day on Friday. So we should have a good time because, you know, after all, that is the happiest place on earth and Disney. Feel free to send me a check for saying that. But yeah, we will be back Monday and we will see you then. Thanks again, Lori and Lori McGinnis. Funny tweets, film. Very, very good. Check this out, everybody. And of course, folks, this podcast, this episode, I should say, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media and podcast platforms, streaming social media platforms and podcast platforms. Right now, I think we're on about 95 different podcast platforms, from Player FM all the way to the big one, of course, is Apple Podcast. They used to call it iTunes, but then there were so many podcasts, they rebranded and changed it to Apple Podcasts. So that's what we call it now. Anyhow, if you are listening to the podcast on one of those platforms in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps me out tremendously. Hit that rating and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page, and that just really annoys everyone who doesn't like me. No, I'm kidding. Well, in addition to that, it actually helps out a lot when I talk to our advertisers. So there you go. I appreciate it. Okay, folks, we will see you next time. Thanks so much for listening and tuning in. Have a great weekend and keep your powder dry. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.